I agree with you. And again, this is, you know, Steve and Gwen started the class, you know, the next steps in the fall. A, you guys have had a lot going on, and B, it's not something any one couple can do. I mean, there's just too much here, and so that's why I think kind of thinking about it and praying about it collectively is what we're trying to do here. Ryan and Leslie Cornelius, you know, have been probably at church more than not at church, or maybe half and half, but that's about it. Don't stay for Bible class, I don't think.
No, so and usually it's just Ryan and the kids.
Yeah. You know, now last week,
Leslie was here, yeah. And then they weren't here at all this week.
Right. And they were going through the Catholic teaching through Leslie, you know, through Leslie's parents. Well, sure, I don't really know where they were doing it, but because I think that congregation closed.
Yeah.
But so a little harder to read, but he seems so open and ready to go. And so I don't know. It, again, it's about relationship and about somebody connecting.
I know she works on Sundays.
Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's good.
But she's also Catholic in her upbringing.
Yep. Right, and, right.
Ryan is, I think, he would be willing to do something, but he doesn't. He wants her to come along.
He's a little stuck. Right. Yeah, I agree. I understand. So, there are others that I'm just noticing aren't even on here, but let's go through this list. Amy Cunningham. I forgot who that is. Let me come back to that one.
I was going to say, who is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Oh, that's Olivia Walton's.
Oh, that her
mom. Okay.
Okay, so she's pretty faithful.
Yeah.
Being at church, and again, I don't know that it's gone anywhere beyond that initial door opening, so to speak, or her being in worship.
Are Greg and Olivia in a small group?
Greg and Olivia?
Yeah.
They went at least one time to Jason's. But I don't think it ever continued on all that much after that one time.
And so, Olivia comes on Wednesday nights with the teens. That's been kind of cool.
She does.
Yeah.
She just started.
She doesn't come hang out with our small group, though.
So she comes to the teen group.
Oh, and she like
works with Nathan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like Steve does.
So, oh, okay.
And then Greg has been meeting with Alec and Matthew.
Oh, really?
To play up here on the third floor.
Oh. During the same time?
They're in the same time. So I guess Amy is watching the kids or Arstein.
Because the kids aren't
Because the kids aren't here.
Oh, okay.
And so, but that's almost every week that Greg's there and almost every week that Olivia's there. But they're not together. So they come in two cars.
I've never seen him here on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ben and Mindy, we've taken out of the directory. And I've got a copy of the directory here in a minute, but anyway,
I've tried several times and said, you want a place membership? And his answer was, no, we're just liking what we're doing now.
And they've been coming pretty regularly lately.
Until Easter. So after Easter, they've not been back.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that was the last time they were here.
Mike Lotek, we've talked about him a couple of times. I'm just trying to not spend a lot of time here with him.
He loved being at camp.
Yeah, and he loved being here and had lunch with him
recently.
And he's just very kind of reinvigorating his faith, and so feel positive about that. Trying to be there. Mark and Lindsay Minton, now they're meeting with us, Steve and I, on Sunday mornings to take next steps. And they had mentioned it during our class up here a few weeks ago, and then he mentioned it to me again that he would like to do that, particularly precipitated by the fact that their son Jacob is interested in being baptized, and they think it's probably a good thing, but they don't know enough about it to know how to evaluate it. Yeah. If I was getting it right, and so they're trying to understand who we are, and they've loved being here, and then they said, well, I don't, what does this church think and believe? And we looked online, and they couldn't quite align what they read online with what they're seeing with us, and in terms of the Church of Christ. And so anyway, they're just wide open, a really good spirit about
them. Is their daughter named Henry?
No, it's that's a son.
Son.
That's another son.
Yeah.
Okay. They're both boys. Yeah. He's he kind of looks like a girl, but he's a boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were at camp all weekend and enjoyed it.
Yeah,
and loved it. They
loved it.
Went up to Inspiration Point at least twice.
Oh, really?
They went up in the morning, and then they went up with the whole group.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Beautiful.
And so they've, yeah.
Yeah, they're campers, and I think Steve and I were surprised by some of their story a little bit. I was a little bit. I mean, he kind of is very careful about it. Just they seem so modest, and yeah, he's owned a couple different businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a financial advisor.
Financial advisor.
Cornerstone.
Yeah.
And he's got a business with 50 agents.
Yeah.
That sell
life insurance.
Life insurance.
It's the senior citizens. So we're being targeted.
Steve said, "Man, you came in the right place." Really a good couple, and we're trying to. She's Catholic by background, he's Episcopalian, but didn't really mean anything to either one of them. They got married at Central Pres and then never went back to church, but came because Jacob said he wanted to go.
And Jacob goes to school with David Bartowell.
Talk about it. We're reawakening, you know. We could, you know, sometimes I think, well, maybe the Holy Spirit can do some. Mm-hmm. Things that we cannot ever do in our own time and own way with things like that. So,
and both of them were at Faith in Action and really
yes.
worked hard and seemed to enjoy it, and just they're just really pitching in.
Holden is the young man who lives in St. Charles, went to Boeing, went to work at Boeing, has not been back now for a few weeks.
Wasn't he here Sunday?
Am I right? I don't.
I think I saw him Sunday.
Did you?
We had almost no one here, yeah.
I'm happy that he has been back. I just hadn't seen him since maybe like the week before Easter.
Well, so Alicia and I, we had lunch with him once, and I've got a lot in common with him because he's a developer.
Okay.
And he plays Dungeons and Dragons with his coworkers.
Okay.
And I think he's a Harding graduate. I think he
went to Freed Hartman.
Freed Hartman. He went to Freed. Oh, that's right. He went to Freed. Yeah, which is where I went. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know like he was gone for a while. Like he was traveling for work. For something, although I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't really caught up with him. I don't know if he's been staying for any of the adult WoW classes lately.
Yeah,
he did for a while. When we were doing like the class down there at first. We came up here. He hasn't been to any of those.
Yeah. Barrett has been slipping in. Barrett New from time to time, and you know, I think if we could offer more, he would be here more. But, you know, Barrett's got his own limitations and deals with his own stuff. But he certainly made an effort to try to get here at times. Jackson is the young man that was in the Marseille program. Hmm. And
Visiting nurse,
and probably will only be here for a couple of months.
Yeah.
No, I don't even think that much now.
Is
but he's already been here, I think, 2 months, and 3 months is their normal moving time, unless they're asked to stay.
Yeah.
And so.
And he wanted to go to his next one, which is Ohio.
Was that where it is?
Or Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Where one of his siblings was living.
Yeah.
I think it was Chicago. Maybe.
Yeah, he has one in Columbia.
Yeah.
And he's been back and forth on the weekends or on the weekdays when he's off. But.
So he may be short time, but he's on the list here. Virginia Pierce, I know she got here early Sunday and was talking to Amy in quite detail. She lives on Rockman, right here in Rock Hill. And I don't know much more about her than that. That I know her husband was sick, and that was a prayer request a while back, and that's about all I know. Steve and Lisa Shock. Now they've been gone for a few weeks now, but I think Steve's been coming to our small group, our huddle group on Thursday, and they're the ones. He's from the International Churches of Christ, and he was in Atlanta, went through a divorce, marries Lisa, who didn't live here, but then started to live here in Ladue, and they both move here, so they're just down the street here somewhere.
In fact, they just had their one-year anniversary this week, May 1st.
Yeah. So she is not a professing believer, but Steve has got a strong Bible background and you know is truly a disciple. Ann Taylor, is that
is that Brian's mom?
Brian's mom, yeah.
I didn't know her name was Ann, too.
Her name's Ann, but I couldn't remember if so Taylor was
both
Brian.
Of them were Ann.
Oh, right? yeah, that's Brian's name. Taylor. Yeah. Yeah, that's her. So she's on a regular basis, but has never, we've never really made any, I don't think, a one-to-one kind of time to help her along in terms of where she is. Greg and Olivia, who are still sort of incomplete in terms of the process itself as well, as far as membership. Chaz, who was at the retreat, I saw.
Chazira Archibald is her name.
Chazira.
Chazira Archibald.
Okay, Chazira, as in C-H-A-Z.
Z, yes.
Okay.
They call her Chaz.
Yeah, they call her Chaz.
I think Archibald, his son is Charles.
Charles. I've seen her name before, but I didn't know.
It's Whitney's close friend.
Okay.
I thought it was they were cousins, but maybe not. Maybe they are just close friends.
Well, the way they described it at the retreat was Whitney is cousin with Deidre.
Yes.
And who has a son,
Josiah.
Josiah.
Okay.
And Deidre is cousin to Chaz.
Okay.
Whitney and Chaz have always been friends, didn't even know they had some kind of connection there.
Okay.
They didn't call each other cousins, okay. But there's something.
So that's what, I just knew they were close. They were really close.
Yeah.
So, because they lived together at times and different things, and so.
I got to talk to Josiah a little bit when we were going down the mountain. I went with like the first group to leave, and they ran out ahead to walk by myself. And he said, "Hey, wait up!" And he caught up with me, and he held my hand and talked to me the whole time down, and was telling me stories about Jesus and how He made us.
Oh,
and
wow.
he was a cool little kid. He talks a lot. He's I think he's five.
Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
So wow. he's a character. But so I mean, he's.
But yeah, just very just like open.
At one point, he won't say anything to you. Then there would just click, and he just. Goes off.
Oh, yeah.
Talks and talks. Deidre. So Deidre is
another
Whitney's
friend of Whitney's or cousin.
Hmm. Was she at the retreat?
Yes.
At the retreat.
She's the other lady that was there.
Yeah.
Usually hung out with
here.
Short hair.
Okay. So Deidre is the mom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does she come, has she come to church?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So when Josiah is there, Deidre's there. So they're usually inseparable.
5 years old. Okay.
And just a correction. It's not a mountain. That's a hill.
Oh, it's not a low mountain? What's how do you determine
that? From Colorado terms, right? Yeah.
That's just a hill.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is it like between creek and creek, or is this official?
It has a big drop-off. A hill
well, listen,
a big drop-off.
If anybody asks, I climb a mountain. The story.
Nene's mom, there you go. That was the biggest. That was the highest thing you've ever climbed, right, Ross? is Bridget, and I do believe she's going back to Springfield. That's the plan.
Bridget Beaver,
but anyway, just throw that out there.
Yeah, and Bridget I talked Beaver. To her about it, and that's her plan. I thought she was actually going this last weekend,
okay.
But I think camp kept her here.
Oh,
and
okay.
So they all came down to camp,
okay,
so
yeah.
It's possible that this weekend she'll be gone.
Somewhere we have Max's last name. I forgot it now. It starts with a P. But he has been in church. Was not in church last week, but is probably in the late 40s, and was the one that I might have told a couple of you guys that he came in, really liked church. He's been on a search to find a place, and then he saw Mark Minton. And he said, "Don't I know you?" And they were in high school together at MICDS, and then he had gone, maybe been raised at Central Perez as well. But he didn't know Mark from Central Perez. He knew him from school, but he was looking. So, interesting.
He's prior 46, because I know that
Mark
is 46.
Okay. All right, my guess is pretty good there.
We had this long conversation about how
and then I have not met Jane. I would just call her Jane Doe. I'm not terrible. But she sits in the back on over by Eric and Elizabeth, and she's been in church multiple times, a lady that I don't know who she is.
Young?
But that Elizabeth's met her a couple of times but didn't know any more information about her. We don't have a card. No, older.
Okay, because there was a younger lady that was over there this week, and I was just standing back in the back waiting for the kids.
I assumed
but I didn't recognize her, and she didn't turn towards us.
Okay.
So but, yeah, there's been other people that sit over there, too. So, I mean, that's where we usually
But I don't sit there anymore, so I mean,
yeah, right. And then the last thing I'll just say this is that we as far as knowing how to categorize the teens, we've got people like Jaden who are not really in our directory. They're underage, and yet they're active members and part of the congregation and people that, you know, Brandon, Sydney, Paige Holtman is the one I believe is going to be on part of the graduation Sunday. Okay, and her mom has come the last couple of Sundays, or maybe not this past Sunday, but recently a couple of
times.
So
she came once because she's a singer at another church.
Okay, okay.
So I think Episcopal, actually, out in Baldwin. And so but she came because she wanted to see where
what Paige was doing. Because Paige started, so this was all through kind of through the teen outreach that these kids don't have parents here and then kind of fall in a little bit of a question mark place as far as even the directory. I'm just giving you a little bit of
Brandon Bolden? Is that right?
There's a Brandon Bolden that's
older.
Older.
So there's another Brandon?
Might not be, right? Then it might be.
Isn't it Jordan?
There's a Jordan. There's a Jordan. I put him down here.
There's a Big Brandon guy. Yeah, I know
Brandon
Jordan.
Jordan was at the retreat.
What's that?
Is his Bolden also?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably related to Brandon.
Yeah.
Bolden.
Yeah. I think.
Okay, so there's.
Yeah, I can't pick. I can't picture the. It might be the older Brandon. Might be an uncle.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's a. That Brandon is a Mayberry contact from way back.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it might
went
be his
ACU,
uncle.
Got a PhD.
And this one is only 13 or so. Like, so he's super young.
Yeah,
like this
and
one.
He comes with Gloria Hansen when he comes.
Yeah.
And he kind of lives at her place, kind of doesn't. Between there and his mom.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Jordan Palmer.
Nice young man, very personable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Palmer, yep.
He was at camp this weekend, so that was good. He enjoyed it a lot.
Steve Walker, do you have any suggestions other than kind of bringing it to mind who these people, what we should... I don't want to take more time than it needs to take tonight, but I want to take the appropriate time because I think it's a significant, you know, these are people that are searchers and seekers and you know, have a lot of uncertainty. I think we have a role in all of this. I just don't know exactly what the next step should be.
I would like to play out that role with the college group that was working with the college group to see if they would be interested in. If not, we just need to begin to think about who else.
Okay.
Because I just think putting something in place is going to be important to have that. Something solid, you know, and it takes quite a bit of training.
Yeah, it takes a certain astuteness to people.
Yeah.
Sensitivity to people.
And then the questions, you don't know what the questions might be on any given day either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why it's good to have a couple of people in there because, you know, somebody just may be a little bit better equipped to handle one question versus the other. So I think that's important to have, you know, several people involved.
Any other thoughts, reflections?
Great blessing.
Yeah, amen. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
This is not my strength at all, but I admire the greeters who have an eye for new faces and are reasonably good at knowing, was that a new face or somebody who's been here for 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Because everybody, they all look like a new face to me, even if they've been here for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And so if there were, you know, 3 or 4 or whatever extroverted people that we could just say, hey, could you say hi to these 4 people, have them on your radar, meet them on Sunday, and that constant follow-up, would that be a team, kind of a super greeter, if you super will, greeter. That's reasonable, it's not burdening them, they're here and they're energized by that kind of, you know, there's a few people, we all have people that are on our radar, and if we see them on Sunday, we talk to them. Some of them are people we've known for a long time, but other, if that could be new people, and the people that like to do that, and then that's where they learn about them. They can, oh, you live near so-and-so, let me introduce you, or you want to come over for lunch, or here's a small group, and I don't know what it leads to, but that's,
yeah.
And I don't see myself in that category, but who is, you know?
Yeah.
Can we ask ourselves who is?
I told Jeff that if I didn't have another task, I would be happy to
help out.
Yeah,
you do that well.
so it depends on number five on our list. If they already hired somebody, I'm happy.
Fresh is on, Ross. Yeah.
I just thought of another person, too, and that's Liam. He seems like a really attentive young man that's in high school that just started coming. It's Electa Sachs's grandson.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And it just seems like a good kid that kind of is trying to figure out where do I fit in the world.
Yeah, he's not been able to make it to youth group for the last couple months because of sports stuff.
Okay.
But that's changing this Wednesday. So
okay.
He comes, you bring him with you, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he lives near me.
On Wednesday nights.
His grandma actually lives over at Page.
Okay.
She gets him on Sundays, but I pick him up.
Okay, she gets him on Sundays. And then I know his sister came.
We've got the little church
van
going.
She is so excited to have him there.
She's thrilled about it.
Oh, yeah.
And Liam seems very receptive.
Yeah, he gets along with Jaden pretty well, too.
It just seems like he needs, again, I don't know what his family situation is, but I just get the sense that he, you know, with a little mentoring, he would be very receptive to whatever. I don't even know what his last name is. I just know it's Liam.
I might know.
Funny ministry. Gets funnier by the day. Lectus.
Other daughter, right?
Richmond.
Yeah, so it's her other
Richmond
daughter.
Yeah.
Because she has one daughter that lives right next to us.
Like okay,
It was catty corny for us.
Oh, really?
Is that Richmond? Which one? M-O-N-N?
And no, two N's. M-A-N-N.
Do you know the names?
I used to.
So, they were my group. Oh, were they? I didn't know that. Yeah. So they...
But then they left when they got older. So
she, I don't think she goes to church anywhere. She's a teacher out at some school, music teacher out there. And so...
Is it Kirkwood Middle School?
Yes.
And she's, the music person?
Yes.
Oh. It's Leah.
Leah, that's it.
Okay, Leah.
Yeah. So we've only
gifted musically
like her mom.
They grew up with the grand piano in the house. With the music, mother was a music teacher.
Yeah, we only found out, so when Greta graduated, we had the invitation for it, and she saw on there, that you live on Seton Hall? That's right across the street from my donor. And so since then, we've known that.
She actually plays or sings in a group that is I can't think of the group's name, but they're playing some pretty large venues, and she sings and plays the piano for that group. I can't remember the names anymore.
Anybody else that you were hoping to bring up and pray for?
I noticed that Joe Shelley decided to do chemo.
Yes.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Okay. He's been
That's a change.
Missing Wednesday nights for a few weeks because of that.
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, so we had a long conversation with him one Wednesday night, and he was still convinced. And at one point, me and him had a conversation. He came by, it was on a Sunday morning. Mm. And he came by, he's like, I think I've decided to do that. But that's almost all the whole conversation was.
Yeah.
And he just walked on by. I'm like, that was it?
He's worried about it.
So I don't know if he is. Either he's worried about it or he's wanting to keep from having fights. Because he was having to have fights with his wife
and
sons about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if he just sort of gave up and said, okay, fine, I'll just do it.
Well.
Because he thinks
I think it's the right choice.
Yeah.
You'd rather to use your hands than live. You know, when you got family still needing you.
Mm-hmm. That neuropathy really gets to him, I guess, that it gives him.
Yeah, because it keeps him from working.
Can't play drums anymore.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's his life.
So what is his work situation? He's not driving the bus anymore.
And as of right now, he's not. He's doing nothing, I think, from as the last
time I talked to him. Passively looking for a job.
Okay. And he's planning to go back to driving, though, after... So he was on probation. I don't remember how long he told us. Till next, maybe till the summer.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of bus driving in the summer, so it would probably be till next fall. But so they did a year suspension on the school thing, and then but he already has his license back, I think.
Good.
So he could actually drive. It's just that he'd have to go to the city or something like that. And,
keep building up my list here, but there's also Bob, older Bob that Jeannie originally met.
Oh, yeah.
And,
They were here Sunday. He was here Sunday, wasn't he?
Yeah, Bob was here, yeah.
Then there's Nina.
That's Nina. True. Yeah. Nina, who is, lives with Petrina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And she's requested a place membership, and...
This is a new ministry. I mean, this. I'm reminded of Lemonade on the Front Porch. How we talked about that. This, you know, maybe I'll talk to you about this offline. But this almost seemed like this is a beginning of an outreach ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we don't need one more ministry, but
where's Michael Santiago when you need him? Right.
He's in Texas.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
Talk about. So is Nina permanently here now, or is she? Oh, I thought she was only a temporary teacher, like for like a 1 year thing, like
an exchange kind of thing.
But I think she's open to to extend.
Okay, because that's my that was my understanding whenever I first met her, like the first second week she was here, and but I mean it's been now 6 months almost or
Villa Nina Villa Nueve.
Yeah.
In case anybody wanted to write that down.
I'll never remember it otherwise.
Oh, that Nina.
And the reason why he knows is because I looked it up on Facebook last week.
All right, let's have a prayer. Thank you, Brad.
Father, we come before you tonight, and we're putting names above what we're asking for, and even some of these people that we don't know. Mm-hmm. We pray for Chris and Stacy Corder, mm-hmm. that they might find a stronger connection to come into this body. We lift up Ryan and Leslie Cornelius in the same way. We pray for Amy Cunningham. Ben and Mindy seem to have chosen not to be part of us, but if they change, Father, we'd like to know that they know they're welcome here. Mike Lotek, I don't know how to categorize that one, other than he's got a lot of energy, but seems to have doubts about faith, and I just pray that maybe something will break through with him, that he would want to be part of this kingdom.
Yes.
We're thankful for the Mentons and their interest in becoming members here, and for their children, Jacob and Henry. We pray for Holden Mobley and Barrett New. I know Barrett has all kinds of autism-type issues and only shows up and can only seemingly do limited things. We pray for him as well. I pray for Jackson Ozara, which I'm not sure I'm pronouncing correctly, for Virginia Pierce, for Steve and Lisa Schock, that they may again become more connected. We pray for Brian's mother, Ann Taylor, and for Greg and Olivia Walton to make the decisions that we're asking them to make. We pray for Chaz, Whitney's friend, and for Nene's mother, Mac and Jane. We pray for Liam, and just pray that your spirit will drive more people to come to be connected in ways that we don't know how to do, Lord. We pray for Joe Shelley going through, making this decision to go through the chemo, and pray that you'll be with him. And we pray for the teens that fall in the cracks, the Jaden Siebert and Brandon Bolden, Sydney Bax and Paige Holman. Father, I know that there's so many others out there that we're not aware of perhaps, but you do know everything. So we ask that you would pour out your spirit, Father, and lead us and help us to be pruned where we need to be pruned so that we can bear more fruit for you. Right. We ask in Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. All right. Some of these other items might move rather quickly. Youth ministry update. You know, Nathan's not here. I know he's on vacation this week. In Phoenix, I believe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, New Mexico.
What's that?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque, okay. I knew it was one of those desert cities, right? I did learn recently, I think Brad might have told me, that we won't have a summer intern this summer. Yeah. I don't know anything about, did the offer just not get accepted, or was there anything else about that change of plan, or is there still something open?
He
had talked to several people, okay. And he had pretty seriously had one, and she chose something else.
Okay.
And then he had another one he was looking at, and she wasn't interested. Okay. She lived in St. Louis, and then she had a couple others, and just didn't work. And
okay.
I told him, I said, you know, this might be a great summer. You might really enjoy not having an intern this summer.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes there's more.
Yeah.
And I talked with him, and he seemed perfectly fine with not having one, so he didn't seem bothered by it, so that was good.
And he's already got plans for next year.
Yeah.
And he's a one who really plans a lot.
Like how to reach out differently or something?
Yeah, well, and even some youth group members that are older.
Okay.
So, in college.
Okay. All right. Let's see. All right, so thank you for that. Children's ministry update.
So, started working on VBS, getting that in full motion. I got the summer schedules out for everybody for teaching. So that was the big thing of getting everything moving forward. So that's all going. So hopefully in the next week or so, we'll have a meeting with all the helpers.
Are you talking about summer schedule for teaching VBS?
For the regular teaching.
Regular teaching, yeah.
Yeah, so that all got sent out to everybody, and so that's all moving forward. So everything's sort of moving forward facing as opposed to being stuck.
Okay.
That's good. So the material, I've been working through that, trying to get that ready because we only have really one more lesson left of the gospel project on the children's side. So the teens have two more, children only have one, and so there's material that we got with the VBS, so we'll be using that probably for the summer for most of the classes. Debbie and has some other material for the preschool, so I'll be working with her to get that all together, and so that'll be for the summer. Other than that, just
how early do you have to figure out the plans for the fall?
So
classes, subject
probably, so this is where I think me and Jeff have talked about it and Elizabeth some, because so basically the gospel project, which we have been using, it was canceled as of, I don't know when Nathan canceled his, but Jeremiah's was canceled as of the middle of April. So the idea was to, he was going to get this free stuff for the summer. And then in the fall, they would start again with the new one, sort of saving money through the summer of not paying for it. So they stopped it in April. So the thought is that I will probably start it sooner than later at some point, because the plan is to go back to that in the fall, which will start the New Testament. And so that's what they had wanted to do the Old Testament first, which was the whole school year, and then the next school year will be the New Testament. And so probably July time frame, I'm thinking, I'll probably start.
But you already
it.
Know what it's going to be.
Yeah,
you
correct. Yeah, we already, they even actually, I think they even have the lessons planned out too, so okay. For the whole fall.
Okay.
So I just have to get the material and start working on it. And so.
Well, that's cool.
So Jeff, what was Elizabeth's involvement? Just the budgeting and the
We were just talking about that because of the credit cards and where everything was paying from, and so
good.
Yeah, that's the only conversation that we've been having because she's been working me through all of those things with things that are on Jeremiah's credit card, things that are on the church credit card, when things are ending, based upon that. And so,
okay.
So Jeff, how long, we haven't had this conversation, how long do you see yourself in this role? I mean, I know you know, with your job, and all, your daughter's going to college, so what do you think?
So, I mean, the thought was through the summer, would be the hope to have somebody hired by that point.
Right.
If it doesn't, then we'll have to consider how things will work at that point and how we handle the transition. So, I mean, keeping some of it going, I think there's not really a lot of work that would need for that. It's the other things, so like VBS and these bigger events that take more time.
Yeah.
And so those are where, I'm a big event person, so I can handle VBS, but these milestones I still don't have them memorized. So. Jeff, we'll hire Jeff to do that.
Yeah.
Once he retires, he can come back and do milestones he built.
Are you going to advertise VBS?
Yes. So this week, so that's one of the issues that we've been having. So Nathan and Jeff and I have had several conversations about this. So we had the camp, we had whatever it was the week before, the Faith in Action thing, and then we had Easter. And so we sort of have pushed announcing VBS other than just through email. So we've been doing that for now.
We mentioned it twice yesterday.
And then yesterday was the first time.
But to your point in terms of community, mm-hmm. advertising, not this will really be.
Yeah,
the
we
first.
Have out front.
There's a sign up.
Yeah,
there.
The sign is
we
out
have
front.
A sign out.
Is that the VBS? On,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The VBS. It says come on in, but I couldn't read it.
No, that was last week.
There's another on the other side. About a party's up. Going on or something.
Okay. Yeah, we'll start the party.
Start the party, which is the title of the VBS.
Yeah. Got two of them out there right now?
I think there's only one now. It got switched this week or last week. So, but maybe it is.
I think there's two.
They may both be out there still.
The one come on in is just kind of a general invitation to the community. But the other one is the VBS.
So then this Sunday is the first Sunday that the whole church will be back. And the thought is that I will have a bunch of flyers and have kids handing them out to people either at the doors or during church or something. I haven't. We'll talk about it tomorrow some to figure out which is the best option for it. But I want the kids involved in making sure that people have these flyers in their hands to start advertising to their friends.
Next 2 weeks are critical.
Correct, yeah. We have a lot, and so there's an adult class as well. So we'll have from pretty much birth till death in VBS this year. So it's in the evening.
We may even show a little clip from The Chosen in the next couple of weeks just to kind of whet people's appetite.
And this is the new season, right?
That we're showing. So we're just going to do the ones that are tied to a party exciting ones to a point.
Okay.
Sort of connecting into the classes that are going on with the kids.
Okay.
I do appreciate you, man, taking this role over. It's outstanding. And sound like you got it. Got things going pretty well.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Now, here's the thing, and I wouldn't expect. I didn't think you were going to be on this summer. The reason I asked that question, you were talking about fall, and I wasn't expecting you to go into the fall. But come the fall, as you transition out, Jeff's going to be transitioning out, and so we got to be thinking about what does that mean for. You know, the children.
It's definitely.
I'm not asking you to recommit to that. That would be unfair.
I've taken it as open ended, Beth and I, until somebody's hired.
Yeah.
The hope is that by the end of the summer, somebody's hired, and I can just pass on what we already have built.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jeremiah left me with tons of stuff pretty much through the whole summer, to where I didn't have to don't have to really build anything.
Mm-hmm.
Once fall hits. But that's the thing, when you have fall coming, you can't wait till fall to start.
Yeah, right.
So
right,
that all has
right.
to be done during the summer, right. So that's that prep time. So that's that transition thing. So even if somebody else in the church wants to take the job, mm-hmm. just as a transition, the next transition, that's fine. But the work will already be done for them. Okay. They won't have to. So it's that kind of thing.
It's working out in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be challenging because, you know, you got Jeff to lean on.
Yep.
You know, in terms of, what you need to do, but the next person's not going to have that.
You know, so and I'll be around, too, still. Okay. And, I mean, I think that's something that, it's not that I'm leaving like Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still be around and can walk them through and transition them.
Yeah, to that.
Okay.
So. Super. Anything else on the children's ministry?
No.
On your radar? All right, and then you had wanted to talk about the tech team a bit.
Just a quick tech team thing. So three of us or four of us already probably know a lot of about it. But so when Jeremy left, he gave us sort of an idea, not really an idea.
A recommendation?
Recommendation, ultimatum kind of thing. warning. So we have two different systems that are end of life. So we have our ProPresenter, which is what shows up on the screen, and we have the system that does the streaming. Both of them, so ProPresenter is continuing to move forward. So we have six. Mm-hmm. They moved to seven a year before Jeremy left. Mm. So then when Jeremy was leaving, around that point was when they said, we're not upgrading anymore. You're six. You need to start moving towards seven or deal with end of life. So we're now a year past that, and so we're to the point where we think we need to move forward. The difference between, and the reason why we've sort of suspended that a lot is because it's going from a one-time pay to a pay every year, mm-hmm. and being a subscription. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that generally we paid it one time for $500 or whatever, and mm-hmm. we don't pay for it until we decide to upgrade the next one.
That's the way they've all done it.
Yes, yeah. And that's exactly what Elizabeth's doing with or other programs, QuickBooks and stuff. So we pushed for a year, and now we're a year past, and we've been having computer issues because we can't upgrade our operating system either, because the 6 requires a certain operating system, and it won't let you go past that. Okay. So the thought is that this summer we will probably move forward with that. And probably after VBS, and that would be something that Kayla and myself and Nathan will work through. Because
is Brian still leading the tech group?
Brian will. And so Brian will help with the transitioning of it. But because what it requires converting all the files to the new system. So it takes hours to do that, which Brian doesn't really have. He may in the summer a little bit more, but the other piece that deals with Brian is the... And Brian and I have been having all these conversations, so it's his direction.
Well, if you got busy work, you just need someone to put some time in. I could probably make some availability.
Okay, so that may be something that we may ask if you're interested. So, and then the other piece is the streaming. So the streaming box that we had, probably almost the same time, a year before Jeremy left, the company went under. Or transitioned out of using that system. We have no support from them, and it's been that way. It works generally fine until Easter Sunday and the streaming quit. It would not allow us to get on. So we had to do a video recording and then drop the video on later. And we've had to do that 3 times since then. The other 2 weeks it's worked fine. And it's just like this, the oddest of things. We can't deduce it. Brett and I have had lots of time.
And we can't say it didn't work. Something didn't work.
Something, yeah.
Right. So we
assume it's the box itself.
There's a gremlin in the system, but there's a lot of, like what Jeff is saying, old pieces. And so it's a fragile system. And that's kind of what the gist of it is. Yeah. It's fragile because we have outdated software and some hardware. And so I guess to help them keep from going crazy on Sundays, they need to update that.
Yeah, and so so we've been looking at 2 different systems for a year, actually, since Jeremy told us. We had looked at one, and that was the direction we were looking at until this year. There was another one that seems to be better than that one. It's very similar to what we currently run, and so that's what we're starting to look at, making the purchases and seeing where the money's coming from the budget or from other. Last year, the tech team received, I think, $1,200 or something like that as a anonymous donation. So that would actually cover the new streaming system. So, which is something, it's like, hey, that was not what it was given for. So we weren't even thinking about that at that point. But now it seems that it may fill that role. And then the budget would cover probably the ProPresenter 7 when we do the upgrade, because there's money in the budget to handle such things. So,
So who's the team that will decide what direction to go with the operating system, the streaming, and the ProPresenter?
Yeah, so the operating system will automatically be able to be upgraded at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem is that because of the end of life of the ProPresenter, we can't upgrade any of the other functionality.
I think the answer, though, to your question is, it's Brian's kind of taking the lead, and I think Jeff is his lieutenant, and they're trying to get input from the rest of the team, but yeah. You know, really it's Brian with Jeff's input making that ultimate decision.
Will all of those go to a subscription service that will instead of a one-time?
Will all of them?
It will just be the
just the ProPresenter. No, yeah. So just the thing that puts on the pictures on the screen to a point. It's the only one that's a subscription. The others are hardware scenario, so you just buy the hardware,
right.
And it has its own system that's okay. Upgradable, and then the operating system on the computers are automatically. So they're.
Brian was explaining to me the soundboard is due for replacement, but these are have become higher priorities.
Definitely, yeah. And the soundboard we actually switched out. I don't know if when you talked to him, but we had switched out from the one that we had in the gym, so that we had used in the gym service that's just been sitting there for now.
Okay.
5 years or so, we switched it out, and it functions now better than we were functioning before.
Okay.
It's the same soundboard, just that it's not been used as much.
Oh, it's still a situation where it's got correct. A number of bad channels that if we lose another one, it'll be fixed.
Correct. Yeah, we'll start to have issues at that point.
Okay.
And maybe boiling all this down, is Brian in charge of a budget? Do we know?
No. So I don't know who is in charge of the budget. So it's the budget I used to have prior to giving it back to Jeremy.
Yeah.
And then so I Jeremy assume Caitlin currently has it for worship.
I don't know.
I think it may be in worship.
So the one, main, I'm not really sure whose budget. And then we have the technology budget that's more managed by Brett. But then part of this also is maybe a capital expense that we'd want to. Yeah.
Right, things like the soundboard we'll put under the capital category.
And maybe also likewise the streaming service hardware for that too could be potentially over $1,000. But I think I'll let these guys decide.
Right, so there is budget now, but it is mostly for licensing. What is it, CCLI or whatever?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, pretty much they have to make do, but occasionally they get some donations and there's some capital funds, so that's there. So
I'm pretty sure the donator will give some more money if you needed it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, she's told me that she would.
Yeah. So if I'm trying
to do something simpler than what we're doing.
So simpler in which ways?
Well, I guess so, to that point,
I know Brett has some other suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, my preferences don't matter, but Brian and Jeff have always. So, what is it that Einstein said? Make it as simple as possible, but no simpler. And so we are right at that edge right now, where if we make it any simpler, we don't. It's rolling the dice on Sundays whether it's working or not. So, what they're talking about, other people have recommended rather extravagant systems. It's maybe the nice way to say it. But what they're talking about, I think, is it won't be plug and play that anybody could get up there and do it. With training, though, they should be able to do it. But I think it is suitably simple for what we can do and what we might intend to do in a few years down the road.
Yeah, so we're trying to keep it as simple as we can. There are simpler methods, let's say.
Doing the stream?
Correct. One would be dropping stream, doing just a video recording, if we want to do a recording on a camera, and then dropping that video on the internet afterwards. But you won't have slides on there, you won't have liveness on there. So there's things you're going to lose by doing a simpler thing.
Seems like PowerPoints are so simple and everybody knows how to do them.
But building PowerPoints requires using PowerPoint. The other is that it doesn't have built-in options such as songs and Bibles and things like that that Roper's
Center
does.
To do a Bible verse on the fly or to change one on.
Right. I think what Brad is saying though is for someone coming here and they want to do a class or a ministry and they said, "Well, I've got my files on PowerPoint." Yeah. And can that, will that work with the new system? And so that's,
just
I think,
like your, today, it works. It takes us like a minute to put it in.
So I think it will make it easier for visiting individuals wanting to throw something up on the screen. The complication will be on the AV team side.
Well, it's just like right now. So, I mean, we can put a PowerPoint up within seconds because it has a converter in it in ProPresenter. But it allows for other things such as songs. So Song Select and CCLI, which is the same company, so they have songs online. So basically when Kaylin brings in a new song or an old song, she goes in there and types the name, and it automatically pops in. She doesn't have to type any of the words out there. It puts it in the exact chorus, whatever, sections. And so it makes it a lot easier. Bible verses, when Jeff needs them, he types in the Bible verse, it magically pops up. He chooses the version, imports it, it's done. So no typing of all the words, where if I'm doing it from PowerPoint, I'm going to have to either type it up or piece by piece drop them in, formatting it as I go. And I'm doing that for the kids' class, so I know exactly how it works. So, it's a program that we've been using for now probably 15 years. Phil Gold was the first one to buy it for Mid-County. And so we've just been going with the same thing. So we've never learned a new program to a point.
I mean, I think ProPresenter is perfectly fine. I think it just got dated.
Correct. The one we currently have, that's the issue.
And it takes a little, to your point, Brad, it takes a little proprietary, but those who are going to be running it know how to do it.
Right. And we have sufficient cross-training right now we're doing well.
Nathan's very good. Kaylin's getting better with it all the time. Ross has got a kind of an instinct for using it.
Yeah.
So
if we want to keep the current look and feel in live stream, I think what they're recommending will be the
ours
best.
Ours is really keeping us at the status quo and having the ability to bump up a little bit if we decide to put extra cameras in or anything else we want to add into it. We're not really trying to go to the next level even. So the other option that we had originally been suggested is to get a board, which is like a basic little studio. And that would require really somebody knowing it and working on it probably almost all week long to get it ready for Sundays. And that's more than any of us have the ability
to
do.
That's more than we could do.
Yeah, so again, I think what they're recommending makes sense. Now, I am not in favor of live streaming, but you know, I think if we do it, what they're representing, I think, is the best way to go. So,
when Amy and I were traveling recently, I really liked the ability on Sunday. We pulled that up while we were driving back to the airport, watched the sermon live, and sang right along in the car. I mean, it was just a nice experience. As opposed to, well, sometime later today, we're going to find time to watch and carve that out. We knew when it was, and I don't know how many, I couldn't tell you if it's 10 or 50 people on a given Sunday. Did you guys use it when you traveled?
We did.
The weekend?
And when we were traveling in Colorado, but the sound wasn't loud enough. That was a couple years ago. But I've done it, it's much better now.
Okay.
Even the quality now, I watched your sermon 2 weeks ago.
Well, our backdrop with the lighting. And
yeah, it's all so much
cleaned
better.
Cleaned up the wall.
Yeah,
I think it helps
people keep
connection.
I would say almost every week
scattered
I will
as
get
we are.
Somebody requesting, and immediately when it wasn't live, every week it wasn't live, I had somebody ping me. I didn't even know it wasn't live one week. I was getting them in the Sunday morning worship. I get what you're saying in terms of simplification and ease of use to do it later, Brett, but I do think something is lost.
Yeah.
And I would also say we are at a C- in terms of our usage, in terms of what we could be doing with that channel if we would ever like to beef it up as an outreach tool, as another front porch ministry. to help reach our community. I think it could be a really effective, more so front door, but all the reason that I would say, I would err the other way, even though I know it adds a technical sophistication to keep it live.
Yeah.
And we've gotten some people through that during COVID. Right.
Well, and I just don't know what the difference would be if it wasn't live, if anybody would know. Mm. So to me, the experience would be the exact same.
Right now, Brian only records and, or at least puts out there the sermon.
Yeah. No, they're both there. They're both out there.
Well, so, there's the stream. So what happens is the stream happens like from 9:30 to 11:45. And as soon as it finishes, it seals it. So it stops it and becomes a recorded video. Then Brian goes and he takes that video and he cuts out Jeff. And he, he cuts out the singing and everything else and drops Jeff in there by himself.
So,
if you wanted to see just the sermon, you could watch just the sermon.
So, but the answer is there are both out there.
Are they really?
Back
one
five.
I could find the worship.
So there's a toggle between live and the sermon. So you can click live on it. And you can see the entire thing back.
Okay. Even though it's not live. Yeah. Later in the day, you can click on
it. It is what was broadcast. So you can get the full hour and a half.
The issue is that the timing of it, so it would not be at 9:30 that it starts. Right. It would be probably 12 o'clock-ish whenever church finishes and ends and Brian gets it all loaded back.
To me, the experience would be indistinguishable. But if we want to do something with it in the future, maybe it's a thought. But it's just, to me, it's pain for no reason. But I think, it may matter to a few people. So
well, there's at least about 14 people that are, or about 14 streams that are being subscribed live while it's happening.
Yeah. Right. But again, I would say it doesn't matter. It's the same experience if it were anything else.
Their church would start at 12 instead of
that's the thing. I just think right off the bat, there is a loss because who starts church at 12?
The only loss would be if there was interaction. If we had some type of a call and response on it, if it's just a passive, you sit there and you watch it at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, it is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
There's definitely a feeling, like I remember this during COVID, because there were times when we couldn't do it live and we had it recorded. And when it was live, I felt like that semblance of being with people and being part of it. Yeah. That when I was recorded, I did not feel that. And I found myself like, okay, I'm going to skip this here or whatever. It just wasn't the same experience at all. Correct. So, I mean, I know it's maybe not that big a deal, but there's a difference.
This is a struggle that we currently have, though, that Brett's noticing. Is because we're using YouTube now, and Facebook is what we were using during COVID.
Yeah, because there was
Facebook
there
allows
less.
You to see who's there.
And
I like that. Yeah.
And respond back.
Yeah.
YouTube doesn't allow you to see it.
What was the benefit that we got from going to YouTube? Like,
because we were getting cut off almost every week on Facebook because of songs.
It wasn't stable.
Right.
The song. Well, the stability was.
YouTube has a chat feature. Is that not?
It does, but you can. It's only whenever you put your thing on there that they'll know who you are.
Right.
But they won't know that you're there or not. And usually that's why we know who gets on there.
And then the other is, and again, this isn't topic for tonight, but is, as elders, should we encourage people to come to church? And my thought is that we should not make it any easier for people not to be here. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm. I'd get that point. Right. I agree with you, and you said it before, and I've agreed with it then. I think that virtually everybody who doesn't come does not come for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
They're either
sick
not
or
local
yeah.
or they're not well.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that seems to be, I think we have a pretty high responsibility to that group.
Yeah, because I know that Joyce had talked to Brian and I at least one time. I know Mary Jo had talked to us a couple of times throughout the time Bob was around. And, you know, Maria Holmes right now is one of the ones that watches it every week. So she's the one that tells us when there's problems. And it's good because Brian, that's how Brian finds out usually.
Can we put a fine point on what keeping his live stream is going to cost us going forward because of the annual subscription?
So there's no annual subscription to...
For Presenter 7?
Well, Pro Presenter 7 doesn't touch our stream.
That's different.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You'll need it regardless.
So it's really just the hardware and then the manpower to mess with
Yolo. Yolo is the name of the thing. And so it will be the one-time purchase, like our other one was a one-time purchase.
Okay. And as long as we've got people who are willing to put the time in to keep it going.
I think good.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. Thank you.
What other topic can we hit you from?
Yeah.
Well, the next one's children ministry again. Yeah. Just the other side. So I'm hoping they're going to tell me you're out of a job.
You're done.
I don't know what all we know or don't know from Jason and, Ross, you kind of give us an update. I forgot about your involvement on that committee.
I assume Steve was going to be doing the update, but I know that we've posted at universities and we've gotten no hits from it at all. Like Harding, Free Hardman, Lipscomb, a few others.
Ross, what are you guys posting? Because there was discussion of a pivot earlier, and I don't know if you have.
Sure. The shift between children's minister and family minister.
Right. Yeah. So what are you posting?
So right now we've posted children's minister.
Okay.
And we're going to be meeting with Cyber Institute, and we're going to discuss how we're going to go forward with family minister. Mm-hmm. And I, as I understand it, we're not necessarily saying we don't want a children's minister. We're saying we'd like to open up to also, hey, if there's family ministers, that would be even better. But if we get a children's minister candidate, that's, you know, somewhere interview. But what we have done is we've posted on, what was it? Indeed?
Yes.
And Indeed. So we got some, like, outside of Church of Christ Network applicants. Mm-hmm. And at least two of them that sent resumes were very qualified. Mm-hmm. And I believe Olivia and Hannah are going to be doing a Zoom interview with one of them. Yeah. Is that this week or sometime soon?
I'm not sure.
When they can arrange it with them.
I think they're tightening that up a little bit. I think there wasn't any mention on the initial posting of who we are, you know, the Church of Christ. I think that was maybe. And so
it was in the job description. It mentioned it said Church of Christ on it.
Okay.
But we didn't really advertise it that much.
Yeah. And so I think that's part of it. But you're right. We got two candidates, and you know, one of them is, I mean, experience wise, he looks pretty good. The other, his resume wasn't as complete. So we don't, you know, I think Olivia's going to go back in and try to get. I don't know if she's done that yet or not. Get a little bit more information on that candidate because we couldn't really tell whether or not his qualifications based on what we saw. And so that's the other piece. And you mentioned cyber. And so what we are thinking here, and we're going to have you guys to help us figure this out, is that we have we're putting together a scope of work for cyber in terms of what we think we might need them to help us to kind of work through. And one of the things is to better understand the role of, you know, the children's minister versus family minister, kind of the dynamics there. And I think that's very important for us to understand that so we can know what we're trying to hire to. We've done some research on it, so we got an understanding of what we think it is in terms of what the distinctions are. And one of the things that I think will be a distinct difference is that the family minister, he or she is more involved in, you know, helping marriages in some form or fashion. You know, they lean into that a little bit more. I think I mentioned this in our last meeting. One of the things that was we had met with Tora and Terry, and their marriage was kind of at a point to where they were struggling. And when we met with them in person, Terry said, like, I'm willing to kind of see what we can do, but found out later on that he's really not. You know, Tora said after we left, he changed. He did a total 180. He just said, no, you know, I don't think we can really move forward. So a children's minister will help us to stay on top of that a little bit more, you know, where before it gets to that point where will help us stay on top of those things a little bit more before we get to that point. Although there were signs that, you know, but anyway, so that I think that will be one role. And then there's a discipleship component to to the children, to the family minister, and the focus is really, and Jeremiah had this focus to a certain extent, but I think it'd be more emphasized to where the family minister will be really helping parents to be the primary discipler of their children, you know, equipping them to do that. So I think that's, and if you look at research, that's where most of the kids, you know, have the greatest impact is in the home. And so we want to make sure those are, you know, he would make sure those things are happening there. And so we want to have that, you know, we're going to put out this scope of work. We want you guys to review it. You know, I think what we want to do is send it to Jennifer. Hey, here's what we're thinking about. You know, give us some idea of what this will cost us. And then we'll review this and say, okay, you know, these are the things that we think are critical, you know, in terms of us moving forward. So, and then if we do decide to move in the direction of the family minister, well, then we really want her to help us to kind of maybe work through the job description a little bit, you know, so we better have that tight so that looks like it needs to look. And you know, while we have her on the phone, we're going to talk about transition, right? You know, so, hey, what are we doing? You know, we're doing some good things in transition, but there are things that we can do better or, you know, be better prepared as we transition, because Jeff's going to be transitioning out soon, and we may not have somebody to move in there. So what are some of the things we need to be doing? And so we wanted to submit that scope of work to them and get an idea of cost, and then once we get that, we'll, you know, bring it back to you guys, let you look at it, and we can kind of work through that some too as well. So
on the children's minister, we're putting out, we're getting resumes, we're getting looking at people for a job we're not sure we know what it will be or if it's the right job. So that's what I'm confused about. I mean, should we stop that for a week or two until you guys get this done? Because, I mean, it's what you talked about with the redefining the scope seems important. And if it is important, then it means we're missing something if we hire one of these other candidates.
Well, I would just the candidate looking at interviewing would be qualified for the family ministry.
He would be. I think he was the one that had
background in marriage counseling. And
he,
was
did.
Studying
he did.
School.
He
school. Yeah.
Did. He did.
So this is it's definitely in his wheelhouse.
If we get to the point to where Ethan and we offer the job to Ethan, he and Sarah, they may have some connections too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And again, I think you guys are doing a lot of great work. It's just what you talked about
seems awfully important.
That's
a good point.
Would it be fair, though, to say that part of the reason we're widening the scope is because we're not finding the right candidates for the scope as it is?
Broaden the candidate pool?
We're broadening it in order, you know, in some ways to make it more fit the profile of people who are actually graduating from our schools.
I think that's part of it. I think maybe I think the thing that we're trying to evaluate where we are in terms of the church is a family minister better fit for us, you know, moving forward. And, you know, someone with a broader set of skills, you know.
I guess what I, and again, this is what the large, I don't want to, we don't need to have this whole discussion now. And I get that. I do get that. But I think that it will be hard to find that profile person without giving up some of the nuts and bolts of the children's minister piece, it seems to me.
It might be true.
Because I think they are a little bit different profile person. And so we're asking one person now to be fairly broad.
And it's kind of 30, 40 years, they've talked about this in youth ministry and children's ministry. You have to be more holistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're looking at is doing, being more holistic with this.
Yeah. And I think that's why we really want to have the conversation with Jennifer Seibert so we can get our minds wrapped more around that, you know, making sure because the dynamics with that should look like, I mean, we may be walking down the track that might be right dead center, or we may be off. So we need to make the corrections we need to make so that we can find the right candidate. And part of what she wants to do is, and this is where, you know, if we decide to bring him on, where you guys can be a part of this, hopefully, is that she wants to also get to know us a little bit better in terms of who we are as a congregation, because part of her services, Ross, I think, is that she actually try to fit candidates that she know with congregations that she thinks are a good fit. And so, and she's feel better suited to do that if she has a pretty good understanding of who we are as a congregation. And so when she, those personal relationships she has with candidates, she's, you know, she can feel more comfortable making recommendations if she have a better idea of who we are and what we're looking for and where we're heading. And so, so part of what we would do is spend some time talking about that. And then I think it would be also helpful, you know, the first session, if we decide to go this route, is that if you guys are in there on the conversation of children's ministry versus family ministry, so we all are kind of in the same canoe, so to speak, you know. And so, so those are the two pieces, you know, that I think we can do kind of jointly. But then from there, I think the committee can run, once we all are in the same canoe, moving in the same direction, the committee can run forward with, you know, from there. But I think that's, since we have this transition period potentially, I think it's best if we hear the same thing, same time, and process it together as a group. And then we can just kind of take those next steps. Ross, did you have any other?
All right, thank you. Ethan, Laster update. I wrote down a few things I want to make sure you covered in your update, but you guys can fill us in. Done plenty of communicating. We know the event's coming up, but as far as any more recent status development, did he communicate his request of timing formally yet?
Did you talk to him about the June weekend?
Yeah, he's on for the June weekend. Yeah.
I think you're asking about January. I think it's January.
Right. Did he formally say January?
He sat for him at breakfast. That was clearly his
desire.
He wasn't demanding it. It wasn't a condition, so to speak. It was a strong preference with the realization that they had as a family that he would just have a lot better chance of finishing this PhD in due season rather than starting everything here. That seems a little overwhelming, as it should, and then just not knowing, so what, well, when do I, you know, trying to find time to work on stuff.
Right.
And he's still going to need some of that, but this would give him the fall to not preach once a month here, maybe not even be here all that much, as a congregation, but just to work on his writing.
And one thing he and Sarah had talked about, if that was the schedule, that they might, during that time, go to the small groups to get to know people.
Which was pretty insightful on their part.
Yeah, I want to, assuming we go forward, things continue to come together, I did want to talk about those expectations, because I thought it would be really healthy for them to attend here for four months before he starts.
I think he said yes, they just weren't sure
when. Maybe starting like October.
We asked September. So,
he
said he wanted to talk to Sarah about that.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Okay, right. So, which month I don't think is bad, but it would be weird to hire him if he doesn't show up till January, okay?
We wouldn't be paying Kim until January. Yeah, so we wouldn't really be hiring him.
It was a request to get to know
future
us.
Hire.
Seems healthy.
I think he would take advantage of that, but I think it was also not.
It's not
also realizing that the baby was coming and Sarah's mom had just died. So it was a lot going on, if you will, okay? And so just needing a couple of months.
And what a great opportunity just to observe will be great. And I don't know if this is the time for that, but I just kind of brainstormed. My last night in Hawaii, I started thinking about this and didn't sleep much. We're putting the cart before the horse in a lot of ways, but I think this is something we have to realistically look at. This is the schedule from August 25th, which would be Jeff's last Sunday here, until January 5th, which would be Ethan's first Sunday there. And we talked about, you know, that being the liminal period there. And I got at the bottom, I got some names of some people that we've talked about. This is in no way, there may be some other people we would think of, and this is just brainstorming, and we talked about it with the Vision elders. On the names on the left are those in our congregation, and under Eric, there's three. He had talked with Jeff, and he has a series of three that he would like to do.
All about CFS?
And then to the right, just brainstorming those outside the congregation, maybe Mike Rood, he preached at Florissant, and he's retired, maybe doing a series. Dale Robinson coming in, the cyber people, and then a question, do we do a church assessment during this time of September through December with the Cyber Institute? And again, these are just things we need to talk about, brainstorm on.
So I've been thinking about this, you know, we probably all have, and I like what you've got here because we need to start thinking about it. You know, one of my thoughts is you've got some momentum and you don't want to lose it. You don't want to just start throwing up your third string preachers. You know, if you get that every week for 3 months, you know, it's going to really kind of be tough. And so, you know, my thought is, Mr. Kreider has certain skills, and if he could help us lay out a sermon series or what these people...
Yeah, I've got that in there too, him helping with the sermon series.
So Jeff lays it out and said, here's what we want to talk about and get these people engaged, but I also think it would be if it could work out, my preference would be Jeff would still preach once a month. He'd be paid for it since he's not, you know, on salary, but I think just to keep continuity and see some of the consistency and some of the momentum, I just think to me that would help glue some of this together and just make it fit better. And so those are some of my thoughts.
I think I might disagree with that. Number one, to give Jeff a total break. And number two, having that liminal period. So I guess I think I would disagree with that, but mm-hmm. I don't have a strong disagreement about
right.
it.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's up to Jeff. I mean, Jeff's a great speaker, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking after a couple months, he may want to get back into the swing of things. I mean, again, because he's just so good. In the congregation, it's like comfort food, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because we're going to be 3 months, and I think it would be helpful for some of that. In the liminal period, I'm not very concerned about that. Mm-hmm. But again, it's asking a lot of Jeff to plan all this out, and if he'd be willing to preach a couple times just to help bind some of this together.
And so that's all discussion we need to have, how right. we want to plan this thing out.
And I will say that I was thinking, Steve, my last Sunday would be the 25th, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay.
Going back to the 25th.
I'm hoping it'll be a special Sunday. That's what we kind of talked about. I'm going to be excited about that.
Yeah. And so, then that 25th will be a special Sunday. He would preach his last sermon, and then we would have a reception. Maybe not have class, but just have a reception in his honor in the gym. If people come to that, make it a real special time. So,
yeah, I know Gwen said she wants to be a part of the planning committee. So once we decide what we're going to do, you know, she'll be happy to be a part of that.
Yeah. Oh, you know, okay. I'm seeing here. I copied and pasted. I didn't want to answer.
That's a lot of funny things.
Yeah. You got what you meant.
I'm sorry. I just saw that.
Hawaii.
It was early this morning.
He was thinking about moon rainbows, man. That's what
I
said.
I never even noticed that. So anyway, you get the...
The 25th is good.
Yeah, the 25th is good, and January 5th is good, and then my brain went somewhere else and didn't go back and change those dates.
And on the... list of possibles, you know, I think we'd have to talk about Melanie. That'd be
and Kaylin.
Is she on there? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Kaylin, yeah.
Do we have people who feel pretty strongly about that?
Yes, in both directions, probably.
No,
I mean, I don't know.
We had an associate minister, this woman, for so long, I didn't know if that was still, like, if anyone felt strongly about that.
We've had a woman co-preach twice. Yeah.
We've had a woman preach at least once.
Or twice. Yeah. And her wife, I think, at least once or twice. Hasn't Becky done?
Only communion.
So McKaylee preached.
McKaylee. So good, you feel like you get a whole sermon.
Her and Keats did a thing together.
And I think the document we put together on women's roles, I won't say permitted, I don't really love that word, but...
Allowed for
women to preach. It was the distinction was made between that and the preaching minister. But maybe to your point, Brett, one, if we're not all comfortable with it, we better talk about it. But two, get prepping the congregation a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are too many, but there are probably a few.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Ron Milligan might not. There are a few that might not like, what are we doing now?
Well, and again, because we are going to be out of our comfort zone. Yeah. You're the comfort food, and everything's changing, and there's women's up there, and like, what's going on? And so even if it's the right thing to do, it may not be the right thing
to do. So the first 2 of September, we should do Kaylin, then...
That's thinking like we're an
just
elder.
Rip the Band-Aid off. Just rip that Band-Aid off.
Then we go back to the normal things.
Yeah.
Go to Travis the next week, and he'll be like, oh, okay, this is...
I was thinking of Travis and Kaylin.
That would be very odd, but yeah.
Definitely
be good. Philip and Sarah did a really good job.
Philip and Sarah did a fantastic job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they could do something, probably do that again.
Yeah.
The two of them.
Yeah.
I think this is an opportunity for the church to become, again, more involved with saying, we got to step up our game here a little bit. And, we're needing people to do more. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like the elders need to, make that point that, yes, Jeff will be gone and, we're going to be going through this and there's going to be time we're going to ask people to help us to do more than what they've done in the past.
Right. And I agree, and I think that we have talented people. It's just what you're saying, if put into practice, isn't always helpful. So let's say you just pick 5 people to go up and sing. And you would not want Steve and I up there singing. And it's not going to help. It's not going
to
help.
You refer to Steve Walker. Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And
there, you know,
it, it,
it,
it should be edifying to the congregation. And, we need to challenge people and call them up, but not at the expense of the congregation at a time like this. Now, I think we can do that on a onesie-twosie basis if we have some strong people to help support it on the other weeks. But if we, again, if we keep, for 3 months, if we throw up the C-string team, I think it'd be hard to sit through some of that if you're just the common man.
It's
kind of
like you don't want to do 3 new songs on the same day.
Right.
You want to kind of balance out.
Well, and again, just bringing up rookie singers who don't know how to sing. Mm-hmm.
Or even people that are kind of poking around at the church.
Right.
That are kind of, do I belong, is this the right? Yeah. Not that the preaching makes or breaks it always, because it's usually a relationship, but it's a factor. Yeah. It's a factor. So it's accumulate. I think what you're saying is true as a goal, but I think what he's saying is true. There's more than one goal that we're trying to accomplish here.
And I think you can do them both if... you get somebody green up there, and then the following week you get a pretty strong hitter. Mm-hmm. You get, you got your batting order is going to be important in this, right? Yeah. So,
and that's also why one of the reasons I thought maybe Mike Root, an experienced guy, getting him in there, maybe doing a series where he's kind of, I think it fits kind of what you're talking about there too.
I think there's a goal here that, you want to bring the congregation together, bringing in a switch hitter that's, there and then gone. I don't know. I just feel like, this is a call. And
this is something for the congregation to own, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And as I look at these are some pretty talented people too. I don't think but it'll be different from what we've had. I agree with that.
I also think that, you know, there might be a milestone Sunday that doesn't need a formal sermon.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like when we do graduation Sunday, there's a message buried in all the participation. There could be a praise Sunday, a prayer-focused day, Christmas, you know, those kind of things.
And that creativity would be kind of fun to have that
right,
that
switch things up a bit. So, so be thinking about this. Thank you for kind of putting this together and some thoughts. Similarly, just to plant a seed, Brett had pointed out to me, you know, there's also going to be a need for weddings, funerals, some counseling in this same gap window that typically Jeff gets that phone call or the knock on his office door. There's a difference between funerals and memorials, and maybe Jeff can help us get up to speed on those things. And so those are similar to the same gap filling for us to be talking about over our coming meetings. And so I'll try to keep those on the agenda, but start mulling that over a little bit.
Let me just say that nobody can die or get married.
We'll just put a pause on it.
Yeah.
Stop.
Family trauma.
I also wanted to just make sure plans seem to be well in place for June 2nd and
all of
that.
Is
there any gaps there that you
want? So we talked about being up here Saturday night, June 1st. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me about dates, obviously. And having the ministry leaders up here, and it's a time to get to know Ethan and Sarah. Give them a chance.
I think we had quite a few already confirmed they're going to be here.
Yeah,
that's going to be big.
More desserts than you can
see. Yeah. I'm like, please. Bring something savory because it's way too much.
So doing that night, and then Sunday morning he would preach, and then he would teach a class, and then we would have a fellowship in the
Were we going to do a fellowship or were we just going to do the brunch?
I think it's going to be a fellowship. It's going to be like a light, you know, something like donuts, there? Coffee, juice.
PBS that day, so that's why we chose not to do that.
So on the 2nd and 3rd, there's going to be a lot of milling around, but will there ever be like 10 minutes where somebody on the vision committee just says, hey, you two, you know, talk about this, talk about that? I mean, nothing deep, but hey, you know, tell us about your background.
Saturday night, my vision, as we talked about it, was after eating and such, and not even necessarily putting up tables, just allow the milling and the eating and make it that very informal, but then to quickly, with having name tags, help them appreciate who was in the room. Okay, so there'll be an introduction, but we won't let that roll long, you know, maybe 20 minutes at the most, just to kind of get, then it will be some questions to them. Tell us about your background, you know, where did you guys grow, you know, that kind of thing for everybody here, everybody that's in that room on Saturday night to hear. Is that answering your question?
Yeah.
So that will
not be an open mic, but you guys are leading the discussion.
We'll be asking them questions, and then I'll kick it off with a couple of questions, and then we just open it to anybody else have a question. Would you like to ask us any questions? That'll be the dynamic.
Great.
Wasn't necessarily seeing that for Sunday, just because I think it'll be more complicated with the whole congregation.
Yeah.
So that was just more like a chance to come by and shake hands and like, I know somebody from your part of Texas or whatever, you know, kind of thing.
That
would be done in the gym, as we already said. And guys, did we come up with who was? I think our wives, the elders' wives, were. We're going to host
that,
right?
Them about hosting that. Yeah.
So, and did we? I can't remember who had the specifics of. Well, you're going
to
have Gwen.
I did. I talked to Gwen, and she's on the fence right now.
She's
on the fence right with that.
Okay,
right
on whether she can do that right now. Yeah, because she's got the whole thing with the memorial coming up. So maybe that part of it, and that's why, like Becky's going, we don't need, you know, there's. you don't need to eat a donut right before lunch. was Becky's way of putting it. Okay, really. So at the most, it's maybe buying some donut holes and offering some coffee and orange juice or something. Yeah, I don't know, something. But the idea was if there's some of our wives or us that could make that look nice enough without having to encumber upon the staff. Brandon wives. That piece has not been completely finalized.
And will he be selecting the sermon topic and the class topic or assign?
We're going to assign the class topic. I think that I've inquired to Jeff about this because he'd been kind of working through the list on. We have Steve's class, and we'll take that away from Steve or take it away from Jeff. And I think I want to give him holy.
Okay, yeah. So mine was holy, and yours was...
I think it's one of the words.
One of the words.
Yeah, yeah, do that
He would stay and keep... Okay. I would send him the outline of the class.
Okay, good.
And give him the time parameters and give him the word. And then we would invite the congregation to be a part of that. And so his word would be holy. So it's got great Old Testament roots. It would be a great word, I believe, theologically to talk about in the way, you know, all the way through to the Holy Spirit. So it's great.
Yeah.
Steve's was repentance, and that's a good one too, but it seemed almost a little, loaded for the preacher to come in. And I don't know why. It just struck me a little bit wrong. So I really liked holy.
It's a good answer,
and
sermon topic?
Sermon topic, we didn't. I was just going to make it open again, but we don't have to.
I just wanted to know.
I would say suggest to create a PowerPoint of some sort.
Okay, that's good point.
Because that was the thing that I heard from, like more than 10 people.
Yeah.
I think that they were.
They're just not. They're not follow. Used to.
We got them trained.
Got them trained.
And then we're going to encourage people to give their input to us. Now, in our discussion, we talked about, then we have our elders meeting that Monday night, but that's VBS, so I just realized that.
Sure.
That's,
Sunday night is.
And Monday night.
Monday. Oh, that's our next elders meeting?
Our next elders meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it.
So then we've got to figure out a time for us to meet to talk about it. I think the quicker, the better.
Okay. So maybe that goes, VBS goes into Wednesday?
Yeah.
So maybe that Thursday night we can meet.
Yeah.
You don't want to have an elders meeting on the 3rd?
That's VBS is that night.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jeff will be teaching. I'll be busy. Hopefully all the rest of you will be busy too, and I can get you serving somewhere or watching Jeff's movies.
So then does that work on the Thursday night then
meet?
On that Thursday?
6th, I believe it is.
Yeah.
6.
It's
on weekends. We need the details.
Oh, yeah.
Or do you like Monday the 10th better?
I'll be at camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be on the. I'm going on Monday the 10th. Well, it doesn't have to be because of my schedule.
And then that Saturday is the elders thing at Maryland Heights.
The 8th, yeah.
So it looks like 6. First of all, is the 6. So.
All right, well, let's pencil in the 6th.
Okay. And then we can bring the input we got from the church. We encourage the church to give us input.
Okay. Good. And so the decision timing, that'll be a good meeting for that. I don't know if we want to try to make a decision by July 1st kind of thing, or, you know, I think we want at least wait until past the next Sunday, because that's when most people will talk to us. Mm-hmm. After he's here, it's going to be that following Sunday.
We have at least another meeting then later in June, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that we could.
So then is there a need to meet that Thursday night then?
I think that's a little fast to get the feedback. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with Dave on that. I mean,
There'll be more chances because of VBS.
True.
Not necessarily the whole congregation, just the people that are active, which is like 2/3 of it.
Definitely, I've been asked a lot about, are we seeing any other candidates?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Brett did a good job of addressing
that. He did do a good job. And again,
Feedback I've had so far is he seems a little young. Don't you have anybody in their 40s?
Yeah.
And I hope we get to talk to see more candidates. Yeah. But that wasn't harsh criticism. It was just, you know, looking forward to more as part of the process.
I think
Brett did speak well.
Yeah, one
Katrina,
thing
because she texted me and asked me about it, and I responded to her by, well, we've had four that we've Zoomed and interviewed them twice, and then we had one guy that was of the age that we thought might be serious, but we did some references and decided it wouldn't be a good fit for us.
And who was that you're talking to?
Katrina.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and the one thing I wish I thought about would have been helpful, maybe not to say, but to when people talk, is that we discuss bringing in somebody else, but it is not fair often to that candidate. It would just be using them to set them up against the person that we want to recommend. And so, you know, how you phrase that to the congregation, but there is, we are sensitive to those other people. And so just to bring them in for people to see is not, we talked about it, but we didn't think that was appropriate.
And even the person that we would consider bringing in, he could lose his job because we bring him up here.
Right.
And so that's a concern on his side too, that we didn't want
to might not be something to get into the congregation about.
No, things. Yeah, definitely. Right. So I mean, if somebody's asking,
you keep that in your back pocket.
So we'll have an elders meeting July 1st, and maybe right now we're taking June to gather feedback. We'll have a meeting the third Monday.
So the 6th is off? That's crossed out?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And the 17th is the third Monday, our typical schedule. And then again, July 1. And let's see if we can't make a decision by July 1.
Okay.
Or if anything crops up that would keep us from doing that.
The 17th of June, though.
Yes.
Okay.
The third?
Yeah.
And
July 1 is what day?
Pardon me?
What day is July 1 on?
Monday. First Monday of July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Our typical first Monday of July.
And then the memo of understanding.
Let's talk about that a bit. It's 8 o'clock. Everybody doing okay to spend a little more time on this? Just pass those around. Pass around that way. Jeff took the first step in putting together a draft of this memo of understanding.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing that. That moved the ball quite a bit and had a lot of good stuff in there. This is largely from that draft. And I highlighted in gray, I took the liberty on behalf of the admin elders to fill in some gaps and highlight things that need more discussion or removal. And so take a minute and look at this whole thing. And then I'll walk us through it.
And I would encourage you to read not just what's in gray, which is easy to read, which I just did. But I think to see the full picture, you need to, not necessarily all the job description, but the rest of the conditions and whatever.
Yeah. And this doesn't have to be finalized tonight either. In other words, this is gathering a work in progress. So we'll take as much or a little time as we need to, but I wanted us to all get on the same page about a few points.
So it's very similar to the job description that we've had, so that's good.
And we always have to remember, he's 31 years old. He's pretty young. So it's
Salary seems high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we expecting him, is this his after his doctorate salary, or is this his pre-doctorate salary? Because that changes it, right?
Well, let me elaborate on that when everybody's had a chance to go through. Good questions.
I don't think it matters, but elaborate, please.
I like Jeff doing so, mentoring if Jeff's up to it.
There's a lot of good things in here.
I'm against the sabbatical.
Job description, there's just a lot of...
Strongly.
I'm strongly
against sabbatical.
I'll fight you with that.
Well, the way it's worded, I think, is it's not helpful. So even if it was a good
sabbatical
idea...
He's talking about sabbatical.
Oh, sabbatical. Right, sabbatical, yeah.
Okay. It's worded. Yeah. Gotcha.
So should we start at the beginning?
Yes.
Instead of starting at the
Well, I think everything was in the prior job description, so it goes pretty quick.
Well,
go
ahead. The word lead, I think, is a question mark.
Yes,
I
wanted to start there because I've been leaning toward that terminology, and I know Brad has wanted to avoid that, and hey, minister is fine, and senior minister isn't appropriate, you know, for this new hire.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be very deliberate. What are the pros and cons or other options about that? Because that's a good... thing up front. Lead minister is very descriptive. He is supervising staff. He's doing the preaching and things like that. Is there a downside or a better suggestion?
I like it because I don't envision us ever having anyone hired over him. I mean, I don't think that's a danger. So,
but even in that point, there's the word executive minister that's currently being used by lots of churches that are over the lead minister. So, so there is a title that could be used for somebody that would.
Right, but I just don't see it in our situation that it would ever.
Unless it gets us up to like 5,000 people at that point, we may.
Yeah.
All right. What are the options you've got? Senior minister, not a good one. Preaching minister, lead minister,
minister. The Seibert Institute in their salary survey uses lead, preaching, senior ministers as one category.
Yeah.
There's subtle differences there, but that's a cluster of options.
I like lead. Because, again, we talk about counseling and all the other responsibilities that, if you're a preaching minister, well, it's much broader than that, I think, what we're looking for. And so
it
kind of best fits what we're, I think, we're looking for.
Brad, I know you've expressed hesitation, so I'm going to put you on the spot as far as, do you feel like that's a big negative to have that, or is it the best of the options? Or
I thought it fit well, and I think churches get hung up on titles so much, and I go back to if we're truly a church where every member is supposed to be a minister in what we're doing, I think that's biblical. The early churches didn't have titled people that the church did the work. I would say even the word minister, technically, what does it mean? But it's commonly used, so,
I think children's minister and youth minister are helpful for people to get their orientation, know who to talk to, things like that. So I'm kind of putting this in that category. Like, if we just hire him as a minister, it almost feels like it's not robust enough of what we're asking of him. Is my just to help. Hey, new members come in. This is our minister, Ethan. That work as well. I don't know. So that's my leaning.
Like we do everything else. If the majority think that's best, then go for it.
The only thing that I think I would add is that the word lead helps to make it very descriptive as that there's people underneath them. Because if you just say the word minister, if he's reading it, he's like, am I going to have, they told me that I was going to be people were going to be responsible to me, but now it doesn't sound like they are any longer.
And I think it's helpful
that's helpful for him to understand that you are going to have people reporting to you.
Well, it's also helpful for the youth minister and the children's minister, anybody else hired, that's clear.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. We'll go with lead minister. The last line on this page is just a typo, I think. Jeff, I think you just left a word out, but I wanted to read that sentence and make sure it now says what you meant.
It didn't have the word days in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds good. All right, compensation package. The salary suggestion comes from the admin team, and it's flexible. It's not adamant, but where it comes from is, let me give you some context. One, we looked up the salary for teachers, PhD, with 3 years of teaching experience at local school districts. He's got 3 years of youth ministry. He's going to have his PhD, so we're projecting forward for that. We can't hold off and then give him something when he gets there, but I don't think it's going to change his responsibilities any. So there's different ways to manage that. But Kirkwood would pay a PhD teacher with 3 years experience $68,000. And this position's not only teaching, there's social work involved, there's administration involved, that kind of thing. But that's a good starting point. Lindbergh and Webster were both a little bit under that for a PhD. The other context is the Seibert Institute survey from just last year, and this lead preaching senior minister category that they have. And so it's a bit of an eclectic mix of information. The average of all 99 ministers that responded to their survey, average salary was $76,000. And that's a variety of experiences all clustered together. Those with a doctorate, the average was $84,000. And those with 1 to 5 years in that lead ministry role, the average was $77,000. And those, and then it goes up from there with more experience. And those with ministry experience, whether it's some other kind, and then they get promoted, those with 1 to 5 years of that, it's only $56,000. But then when you get to 6 to 10, it's $72,000. So there's some mixed information in there as you try to make sense of their survey. But we're not way out of line, is the message. And then the other thing is that $72,000 is exactly 1/10 of our FY24 church budget for congregational giving. So 1/10 of what all the individuals are asked to give goes to this salary. So it's hard to creep way beyond that, maybe as we grow as a congregation, but that's a bit of a point to notice. Not that he's entitled to 1/10, whatever it is or anything, it's just make note of that, because it's just kind of a, so that's the context of, I didn't want to bring him in too low and then be disappointed. Didn't want to not have room to go. When we put the budget together, I dropped $80,000 in as a placeholder. But then figured this candidate would only be here half the year. We didn't know how much experience we were hiring in. So this is within the budget. This is 2025 we're talking about for this candidate. It sounded high on first to some of you guys, so this can be chime in on what sounds more reasonable or how we manage that, but that's where that come from.
I see him as having really no experience in the position he's been hired for, and the other component is that with Seibert, I don't know if they take in consideration, is maybe, I appreciate you talking about our budget. That helps me understand that, but I didn't know size of congregation,
you know, that other factor in terms of, but maybe more a better one is actually budget and size of congregation. You know, to think about.
Yeah,
that.
And yeah, and I don't see that carved out.
Yeah, budget probably makes more sense there, but I don't want to lowball him in any way. You know, and this is in terms of his PhD. I think what his plan is, if things move forward, is that he has these six chapters he's writing for his PhD, right? I think he want to focus on four, you know, in that period, that fall, you know, and so the introduction and the summary, those are not where he's going to be spending his time. But he's going to get those four done. And then if we hire him and he accepts, he's not going to finish his PhD right away. He's going to wait at least a year, 2025, so he's not going to jump in there and work and have a PhD in 6 months. And so, you know.
And that has more to do with the wheels of academics in terms of how slow it goes. And his advisor is at Notre Dame and not here. And it just takes a long time to revise and these things. So,
yeah, that's part of it. I think part of it, too, is that he see himself, if he goes into this role full time, you know, in January, that he's not going to have as much time to dedicate to it to defend it in the spring. You know, I think that's the other part I think he was thinking about. In addition to what you're saying, I think he did have some trouble with his academic advisor in Notre Dame that was there. But I think he see himself want to, you know, spend, you know, January and moving forward more time, you know, digging in here and, you know, maybe postpone defending his PhD a year as well, I think is part of it.
Sure.
So I don't know what the number is. I mean, so I'm not qualified to say that, but it just kind of struck me a little high, you know, maybe this is the right number. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Good job with that. Appreciate the work you did with all that.
Yeah. I'm, you know, just at first blush, it seems high. I've got a daughter getting out after, you know, she's got a master's in architecture and she's marrying a medical doctor. So she'll make $52,000, and he'll make a little less than that. you know, after a couple years, their potential takes off. It's kind of like, you know, CPA. You get your license, and things get a little better. My preference would be to start him lower, what I would think would be more reasonable, but it sounds like he's going to be meeting, getting with mentoring. And I would just like to say, hey, you're doing a great job in 6 months. We'd like to recognize that, because like you said, he's coming in green, right? And you know, if you start him off at, you know, 68 or whatever, you know, you're going to be limited on how much you could recognize that financially. So I think you could start him off at a reasonable salary and have room to recognize his mentoring and his, you know, time and grade that way. Because, 68 just, it seems high, and you made the comment.
Where does 68 come from? What did I mention, Kirkwood?
Kirkwood.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what, you had said. You've got 72 here. And the other comment you made talking about this is, you know, should you pay him this, or when he gets his PhD, give him a bump? But then you made the comment, but his PhD won't change his responsibilities. Sure. Now, the key to that is, we're not paying for the PhD. We're paying for who he is. And so, you know, a lot of these with, you know, education and stuff, it's a data point, which is helpful, but that's an important point. The PhD won't change his responsibilities. And so hopefully we'll help him, but, you know, I don't know if you want to recognize that up front.
Okay. Especially if it's 2 years down the line.
Well, yeah. Yeah, whenever it is.
Especially if it's 2 years down the line. Yeah. So if it's going to happen within a year, I could see that being reasonable to say, hey, we realize that you're going to be doing this within the next, like in the 2025 year. But if it doesn't actually happen until 2026, or who knows, 2027, then really he doesn't have a PhD. He may have a dissertation.
Well, that's a second question, though. The first question
is, I agree with you.
Would it matter to you if you had two candidates, A and B? Okay, no. If you got a PhD, okay, that means you're
Yeah, so I think it's the role, fitting the role.
Well, right. A PhD makes him more attractive.
with his education will enrich the work he does here.
And I don't deny that. And I think if we hire him at an appropriate salary, we can recognize that and say, hey, you're doing a great job. And, you know, we have, you know, we can give you a $5,000 bump this quarter because, you know, we see what you're doing. But if you come in, it's like, well, there's these PhD expectations, and it's, you know.
Yeah, and how do you judge that with ministers? And then even being fair with all the ministers that we have. That's a hard thing to do.
Right, but he's making 25,000 more than
Nathan is making 50,000 this year.
Okay.
In round numbers. Now, he didn't start out near that. We
right.
have rewarded Nathan for who he is over the last 2 years. He's come along a long way. And with Jeremiah leaving and everything, you know, we tried very hard to treat him well this year. So he just reached 50. So that is a point of context.
We didn't know Jeremiah was leaving.
That's true. It was both he and Jeremiah that were very close in that same range.
Right.
And then Elizabeth makes about 56, I think. So you do. There is a context there to be aware of.
Yeah. It seems very generous. I'm not saying. I mean, you guys are in charge of the purse strings, but it just seems very generous.
And then the job market out there, I think it calls for more because there's so few.
You wouldn't want to lose them, I guess, but
yeah.
I see your point.
And so I want to make it attractive for him.
I do like the idea of, you know, we don't want to set unrealistic expectations too early, but I do like the idea of having room to, you know, our pattern is typically pay all you can because you're going to get 2 and 3 and 3.5% going forward. So start them out as strong as you can. But that's doesn't mean that has to be perpetuated. So, you know.
There honestly may be a little more room in this position the way we've all talked about it, that he's going to be growing into something.
Yeah.
For there to be a little bit more of a 6-month and yearly review and be able to compensate that the first couple of years a little better.
So does 65 sound like a better number, more comfortable?
I think it would be a better place to start. And if he comes back and says, you know, I was, you know, thinking I'd get a little bit more with my PhD, then we say, okay, 68 or 72,
still
but I would start at 65.
Or would we say we'll reevaluate that when you have a PhD?
Well, I think we'd be open,
hard
but
for him to say it.
Yeah,
because I think if you offer him 65, that is a very fair offer, and if he pushes back, okay, well then we've got room to think about it. But I mean, Steve, I don't know. You said it seemed high to you. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I was thinking 68. I mean, okay. You know, that's what I was thinking.
A couple.
Although even 72, I'm not.
Yeah.
two other, and I don't want to make things more complicated, but it just occurred to me for some reason. One, since because he is on kind of an academic track, I wonder what a starting professor at MOBAP, you know, like, what did Matthew Bardawell make? I don't know if he made 50, 55, or 85, just as a kind of equivalent. And then the other point, and I don't know if this really helps or not, Dave, but it occurred to me, is that his best friend is Kyle out at Lafayette. So Kyle's just taken this role, and they're the same age. Okay. Now, Kyle had a couple more years at Lafayette before he took this role, but I don't know if that would be data that would be helpful to know in terms of looking at this, or if it's not relevant either. I'm just throwing that out.
I was going to suggest whatever we come up with here, I'd like to run it by Carson Reed before we, you know, just to get his.
Well, we've got Carson's numbers there. Those are Carson's numbers.
Well, but I'm talking about the whole package.
Oh.
You know. I'd love for Carson, I'd like to hear what he'd have to say about
that.
The
whole thing.
And
our benefits does hold up well.
Yeah.
Come with.
And those are
benefits
in
the survey
for all the ministers. Is that correct?
No, this is a lead preaching senior minister category of benefits. Oh, I'm sorry. My description and yes, this same benefit. Well, doesn't apply to Elizabeth, but all of
them.
Yeah, they've all got the same package there.
The education and training and the budget ministry resource books and materials are unique to this position.
No, that's not accurate. We changed it this year, and we put in $1,500 education for both Jeremiah and Nathan.
Oh, really?
And we put in $1,200 for Nathan to have for the shepherding funds. And what is unique is the ministry resources.
That was your point.
Okay.
Yeah,
that is unique to this one. And then the children's minister only has $600 for the shepherding funds, meals, and coffee because they're not doing as much as that.
The other unique thing in here is you are allowing him to also teach. So will be bringing in income for that, and he will use his time to earn money in that as well. So, you know, $68,000 plus whatever we're allowing you to earn teaching. So,
yeah, I agree.
But adjunct is very minimal.
Right.
It depends on what school he's teaching at.
Right. But he's using
Harding or one of the others. And Harding was horrible about paying adjuncts.
And so was ACU several years ago.
Right.
And those are the two.
But we're giving him.
You can ask Caitlin when she's just getting
right
there.
But it's something that.
It's extra
money. It is
and we're giving him the hours to say.
Maybe $1,200 or $1,600 a semester or something
like that.
All right. So I appreciate the feedback. We'll cut that off there, and I'll see if I can find out what Lafayette does, what starting professor. It's not a bad idea. And again, we've got a month longer before
good
we're going to make an
really
offer.
I think it's a good package.
I do too. And even traditionally, we've looked at the education thing with teachers, and I guess I would just say the 68 for Kirkwood, the others are a little lower. In that range, I think is good.
And I think even from an explanation standpoint, if he's right around that number, saying this is the way we've done this historically, and this is based on the PhD number, is a good way.
A couple other things. Relocation expenses. $5,000 moving expenses if he moves closer to the building. We would offer to move. If somebody was out of state and we were hiring them, we would have that on the table. So that seems reasonable.
And is there a time frame with that? Or just if, like, 5 years down the road, you decide?
Well, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I would link it,
I think so,
yeah.
I mean, 2 years, 3 years,
Two or 3 years. And again, it's quite a different situation. They probably bought that house at 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And moving down here, there'd be a whatever percent.
We don't know what it is. So because now, between now and the end of the year, they're going to change interest rates. So the loan.
It's hard to see where it goes.
And so the highlighted part, Jeff was very creative in his first draft to say, offer you a loan for your primary residence at 5%.
Well, I just thought, that's essentially we kind of did that for members and others to pay back our own thing here within the congregation to pay down our debt. In other words, then we paid an interest on to people who put up $20,000, and then we'd pay them in 3 years at 3% interest or whatever. And so this was kind of a way to do something potentially similar that wasn't a huge risk to us, hopefully, but could benefit them. So it was just a thought.
Well, actually, it is the opposite side of the coin from my perspective financially, because we don't know if he's going to buy a $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 house, and that takes a ton of our reserve, commits it to one person. We would earn 5% on it, but I don't think we would put all our reserve eggs in one basket like that for someone. it was different when people donated or gave money like a CD to the church.
Yeah.
So we paid them 3% instead of the bank 5%. They were only putting in what they were comfortable with. They were trusting the church to pay them back like a CD. Now, it might be hard for him to move closer and 7% mortgage. So yeah. This might help him do that. But I felt pretty squeamish about putting all that on the table.
In different ways, instead of the church handling the entire amount, you could just say, we will, at the end of the year, tell us what your tax is, and we'll make you whole to 5%. We just write them a check for what that differential is. And so we're not out for that whole amount of that mortgage. And so, I mean, if that's what your concern is we'll just write you a check.
But that's money out of our pocket then, right?
Well, it's going to be money out of our pockets regardless. I mean,
I'd rather have a robust wage and you make your own arrangements for housing.
Right. Okay, and I'm fine. Yeah,
I mean, I'm fine with that too. Yeah. But I didn't see it as money out of our pocket to make my point, because we already have several hundred thousand dollars in CDs, right?
Yes.
So in a sense, this is maybe we don't want to be a bank. Yeah. Okay, I get that. So we're saying that, but in another sense, and I understand the risk factor is different. Okay, so it is different from that standpoint, but in other words, we are getting a return on this money at 5%, which is equivalent to what a CD return would be. So that was the logic, though I do get it from the standpoint if it could be, if a minister is risky,
right?
I guess is your question.
And if it doesn't work out.
Is this a consistent thing we will do with all the ministers?
I don't think it's ever been on the radar before.
Right.
So if we do it for him, do we make that a policy with others?
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
And I don't know if it taints housing allowance. It would just make it trickier. So I would just, maybe we can just strike that.
Yeah, we could have them pay us 25% and just get that much money. Yeah. Tax-free, technical salary. So. Anyway, I would remove that. I recommend removing that. But the moving expenses, 2 years, I think that's good feedback.
2 years or three?
Does anybody else feel like
that? Maybe 3 years. One more year on that. 3 years. Good.
Yeah. I like three.
And then I did raise the question. I know they live west, but I wasn't sure how far.
Baldwin, which is
really close to Lafayette. I think he said almost walking distance of Lafayette.
They did that because they wanted to be close to the church they were at, which they said they were very open to moving here for that same reason.
It's where the Davises live. So if you think about where Gerald and Debbie live, that's pretty much right around Lafayette. So they live actually a little bit further, but they used to live much closer. They lived near E3 before. Then they moved down to past Lafayette a little bit. But so it's a hike. I mean, it's close to where we live. I mean,
All right. And then the vacation. I do think this is the way things read, our typical pattern.
I didn't actually look it up. I just did it from memory, Dave, and so it probably needs to be reworded.
I just wanted to clarify if I'll double check what our policy is, but is 1 to 5 years of ministry experience, do we honor the three? Are we saying we honor the three he walks in with? So it's only a couple of years before he gets another week. Yeah. Or does that mean with us? And so
I really like the idea of ministry experience. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it was in Mid County.
Okay. So somebody could come in. If we hired somebody else, they might start with 3 weeks.
So we might have to help him know or ask him or determine that, right, at the beginning? Like how much?
Well, according to his resume, it feels like he's got 3 years of experience. Okay. And so he'd walk in, and we can tweak this language that it applies to him.
So industry-wide, it's changing. So not maybe in the ministry level, but everywhere else, it's changed to where you're starting with 2 weeks no matter what.
And it's terrible. Terrible thing.
But the thing is that's what's happening everywhere in the world. So if he were to go to a university, go anywhere else, he's getting 2 weeks no matter what. No matter what his experience, no matter what his previous job was.
Oh, so it's
yes.
It's employers are being less generous with that.
But yeah. It may actually go to three faster than the 6 to 10. So like after the third year, but you walk in with two, no matter who you are.
Okay.
And it's just really odd. So I mean, and they're changing the way that you earn it. So by hours that you work.
PTO.
PTO. Yeah. So your wife knows it.
So. Yeah, boy.
And so for experience, you know, if you've got 3 years of part-time experience, is that 3 years of experience? I mean, I don't know what he's got. He's not working full-time. He hadn't worked 3 years full-time anywhere, right?
He was a full-time youth minister.
Yeah, was he?
Years. Years, Texas, yes.
Okay, I thought he was and still doing his schooling. Okay. If that's what it was, right. Yeah.
No, it was, that wasn't the congregation outside of
okay.
Yeah, Winters.
Oh, that was Winters, okay.
Yeah. Well, it's 8:30. That's enough time with this. Thank you for the feedback. That's really some good points.
And Brett's sabbatical.
And actually, the way it's worded is not too terrible. It's...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's one more. I
know. Yeah. Yeah.
These are just all Dave's qualms.
2 hours.
Yes, yeah.
Well, so, this is in policy right now. Am I right?
No, it's not.
Oh,
so
it's not.
Had it in policy.
Yeah. So we discussed it a year and a half ago, and the way we ended up was the elders want to be able, when they feel appropriate, to offer a sabbatical. They don't want to be forced into it. You know, kind of like with Patrick, hey, I've been here 5 years, I'm taking off. It's like, well, you know, you should have been a sabbatical a year ago because you're toasted. And so we said a sabbatical, it's serving a certain purpose. And you can't define when that purpose is going to be needed. And so like, okay, 5 years, it doesn't matter if you needed it 3 years or it's 7 years. And so what we decided is the elders will take it under advisement and allow it when they feel it is necessary. Both the when and the duration of it. Now, I guess, you know, it's always open for discussion.
I don't remember us. I thought we just shoved that aside and like, okay, let's look at Jeff's.
Well, that's kind of the discussion and why we never ended up, because you wanted to write it into policy, yeah. and people said, well, here's some of the issues with it. And so that's kind of why it never ended in policy.
Yeah.
I do get... That kind of sounded good, Brett, what you said there, because you're not wholesale rejecting it. You're saying there is a discussion that needs to happen to make it more appropriate.
Right.
Because how do we know it's 7 years and it's not 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Or 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would be that, but it's a spiritually discerning possibility.
Right. Now, you know, Ethan, being in academia, they think of a sabbatical a little differently. And, you know, I'm going to write my book, and so I need it in 5 years. Yeah. I need to know when I get my time. But that's not how, when you handed it out, you said it's different than an institutional sabbatical. And so, you know, that's kind of how we drafted it or understood it a year and a half ago. And so this wording, I think, just says, hey, we're open to it, but we're not going to define it or either the time or the duration.
So yeah, exactly. Need to be mentioned.
I would rather it.
Yeah.
I think it was important to him.
I think it really was.
And to your point, Brett, I'm not sure all the thought. Well, I think, let me give two reasons I think it was important. One is he is just a very reflective, introverted person by personality. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that if I had to state one concern he had, it is getting discharged without getting recharged in this kind of environment, which is understandable, and particularly so that is already a bit of a worrisome thing to him. The second thing is he very well may had in mind what you're saying, more of the academic view of sabbatical. So you take those two things together. It was something that he definitely stated as something that was that he would question if he was in the. This is a little overstated, but am I in the right place if I've got a leadership team that doesn't understand the importance of this? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So he's going to have a problem with this because it's 5 years of working before even any consideration, and then then the seventh year would be possibly it. So yeah. you're looking at, I mean, that's almost 10 years yeah. down the line.
I would just, if we put so, anything in there, I would just say the elders are open to
yeah.
sabbaticals, you know, on a case-by-case basis or something yeah. like
something
that or
like
as
that
needed.
Sounds mm-hmm. better. Yeah.
And I would say, Dave, make those notes because I think I've done my part from my
yeah.
perspective on this. So it's up to you guys in terms of where you how you
and
find.
Right above at number two, I really like that. But Mr. Kreider, have you signed on to that?
The two times per month,
you right?
Biannual.
So
yeah,
Jeff Kreider will help give feedback and training, and I think that's awesome. But I.
Yeah.
Don't
no,
know
I want to. I want to do that.
Okay.
I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of funny. It says two times per month because that was in my head, and I wrote this. But
you did.
when we had our breakfast together, we yeah. talked about two meetings a month.
Yes.
One with this small multi generational mm-hmm. group.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
maybe the yeah. commitment ought to be, to be honest. One
once
time per
you.
Month,
yeah.
once
yeah.
once
yeah.
per month,
yes.
and then we could go from there if more is needed. But that might make more sense.
I was going to say again, I think getting Carson's
yeah.
point of view on this,
yeah.
to
yeah.
see
yeah.
how important it is, would be helpful.
Yeah,
yeah. If Carson reviewed yeah. it, it would be great. He'll have yeah. some insights. He'll say, I really thought there should be a line in there about offering a loan for the private. No, I knew it.
So do you have Carson's information?
Contact information? Yep. I'll wait till this is more polished
okay.
before we do that.
All right. Okay. Thanks for doing that, Dave.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's 8:30, so this is a good time for a closing prayer. Did anybody bring anything burning they were hoping we'd talk about?
I want to hand out these directories.
Okay.
And again, maybe not whenever the next time is, July. We'll probably have plenty of
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about that, whether we're going to meet on Tuesday or Monday in May 20 or 21st?
You're right. I skipped over my section here.
Yep.
Monday the 20th, we can meet. I'm just not available. I've got a work meeting that night. That's our typical third. And I typically we would try to meet, we're going to try to start meeting with ministry leaders, maybe the pastoral team, a couple reps or whoever in that is available would be a possibility instead of our traditional meeting. But what is your availability for the 20th or the 21st?
I counsel on the 21st, but you can meet without me.
I'm here all day Tuesday.
Tuesday's
so
okay.
Just like today.
I'm flexible. Either okay. one's fine.
Yep.
Do you want a more traditional meeting, or do you want to invite some ministry leaders and get that going?
It could be good. Kind of catching them up on things and
okay.
hearing what they're doing and catching us up.
Yeah, I think it's important to at least continue to encourage the pastoral team because they do such a solid work. And
yeah.
during the interim period, I think they're just going to be more handy. So I would like to at least have representation of them in.
So Monday the 20th.
Yeah.
And then
is not available. So
he's not available.
Okay.
Monday,
yeah, yeah.
And then
catch
the 21st is the.
All right, I will invite. I think it's a busy time of year.
So Tuesday the 21st
for
is when we'll meet,
here.
And
okay.
we'll try to get some folks from the pastoral ministry.
Pastoral ministry is the one we want to invite. Pardon? Them. I can do. That. I can invite them. Is that,
yeah,
is
that would
what
be great.
We want to focus on.
Does that sound
pastoral? I mean,
yeah.
so
any of the ministries in general or pastoral is what we.
I'm very flexible. I did thank
okay.
you for making the contacts. Definitely pastoral. We could throw it open to all of them because that interview is going to be
mm-hmm.
later and we could set expectations. So maybe we throw it open to any ministry leader. That Saturday night is coming with Ethan and ministry leaders. Maybe if we throw this meeting open to ministry leaders, we can not only hear from them but set the expectation for that evening.
Hmm.
Okay. Paint the picture for them.
I think it's a lot of meeting, and I think I think it would be better to focus on a few than to try to make it personally, than to try to make it too broad.
Can
I think about which ministries?
Yeah, definitely the pastoral ministry. Pastoral, and if there's another one or two you want to, that's absolutely fine.
What's that date?
Tuesday, May 21. Appreciate your flexibility, guys.
Okay.
We'll miss you, Steve.
Yeah, I'll be heartbroken. I'll be able to be in a meeting. Gosh.
All right. So here's the directory, and I did take out some more, updated this again, going through it this morning. There's any number of names that still could be questioned, so we probably need to make this a part of some meeting if you care. That some of these people that are maybe borderline are still in here, but at least we got the pick. You know, it's pretty concurrent, particularly for those who like the paper. I know that's not everybody, but some do, and so here we are. There'll be an accompanying sheet in the next month that will have that needed a lot of help right now from our database on who was baptized and who wasn't baptized. Like a lot of the teens were not updated, but neither was Susan Autry. And I do believe that at some point she had been baptized.
Three times.
So, Lutheran Church. That one's a rough one in terms of the data. And then the third thing that we were working on is that list that you already saw tonight in terms of the new people. But in any event, here's a copy of the current directory with pictures.
Is this just for us right now?
This is just for us.
Okay.
Yeah. And if there are any like glaring ones that need to be changed, for instance, this list, whether they're a member or whether they're a prospect. Okay. So we don't want that on. We don't want to send that out to the church. We would take out that field.
Okay.
But it doesn't go so far as to list baptism, because this is based on household and not based on individual. So it's kind of screwy. You gotta select a field. You gotta either select the household, you know. So it's a little complicated.
Okay.
Well, we need to get the app updated.
You can't. I don't think so. I think even updating the app will not fix all of these problems, because it's still based on a family unit versus based on an individual unit.
So we got people who've been gone for 3-4 years that are still, you know, listed in that thing.
They're in the app?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I don't.
So because this is from Serving Keepers.
Yeah. So the app is too.
No.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah. It depends.
Yeah.
Because
not that one. He's talking about the only one.
The directory.
Which,
the pictorial directory.
Which one are you talking about?
The directory that we.
Yeah. That. Elizabeth rolled out a couple years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
That's from Servant Keeper.
Yeah. So we have three different things going on. So we have the PDF version that's just sitting out there.
Right.
Which
is
stale, very stale.
Yeah.
We have the Servant Keeper, which is this, and the pictorial directory that is online. And then we have the people, which is from the actual app that we have, the Church Center.
Yeah.
And it has a completely separate database.
If we're on Church Center before, I couldn't.
The MX Directory app is identical to this.
Yes,
as I scroll through.
It should be. Okay. That's what Brad was saying. We have people that should come out. And so, but I think that these two are the same. Double check that. But
as I scan through, they look identical.
Church.
So,
but there still may be people that need to come out of this one, Brad.
Because
to your point, but then they would also come out of
it.
Online version of that.
Yeah. I mean, people have been gone a long time. And